morning. Welcome on this Sunday morning of a Labor Day weekend without a hurricane just yet. Our call to worship this morning will be Holy Ground. It'll be on the screen. I'm an amateur. Do y'all know Holy Ground? We've sung this together before. Okay.
It is good to gather in the Lord's house this day, this Labor Day weekend. We have many that are traveling. We pray for their safety as they travel home this weekend. As we gather here this day, we do have many things coming up in the life of our church. We do want to welcome any guests that are here with us this morning. Some things that are coming up this week that you do want to make you aware of. One thing that you may have seen on TV the last couple weeks, there is a Christian movie coming out called Overcomer. There has been lots of press about this Christian movie. And one of the things we wanted to provide the opportunity that is, if anybody in the church would like to go see this movie, this coming Wednesday, we are going to be taking a group. Gay is actually going to be taking a group to go see this movie at Alamance Crossing. There is a sign-up sheet in the Communication Center down the hallway. The showtime for this movie that we'll be going to is at 12:30 on Wednesday. We're going to meet here at the church at 11:45, then travel over to Alamance Crossing. I'm not sure what the cost for the movie ticket is. Gay is actually going to order those tickets in advance. If you do want to go to the movie, you can sign up down the hallway. You can actually see me after worship this day for any more details about that. But it should be a great opportunity to go see this movie. So if you're interested, please sign up this morning. Also, this Wednesday is the deadline to sign up for our senior adult luncheon coming up next week on September 10th. Ozzy Thompson, a guitarist and vocalist, will be coming to share his gift of music with us. Should be a wonderful time of fellowship around the table. We also will be taking a love offering up for Ozzy to continue his ministry and sharing his music. Should be a wonderful time of fellowship. So if you're interested in that, please sign up this Sunday. The deadline to sign up is this coming Wednesday for that. Many other things coming up in the life of our church in September. The September newsletter is in the foyer as you leave this morning. Many of you received those via email this week. You can pick those hard copy up in the foyer this morning as you leave this morning. I will also encourage you to stop by the table as you leave this morning. There's many new printouts from CBF, one of which has a great article about Carson and Laura Fushi. There is a wonderful article talking about their ministry in Japan. I will also tell you, I have been in communication with Carson this past week, and they will actually be back in the state starting next month, and will be in town for the next couple months. And we have lined up the first Sunday in January. Carson and Laura will be with us January, I think it's January 5th, that Sunday morning. They'll be coming to preach that Sunday morning, and then also will be leading a time that Sunday night for all our age groups. Adults, youth, and children will be gathered to talk with them and share about them. They also have their daughter Ada with them, so I know everybody's excited about that. If you've seen, or if you're friends on Facebook with them, they have wonderful pictures of her and how much she has grown. So you'll want to be go ahead and mark that on your calendar. The first Sunday in January, Carson and Laura will be with us, but they're doing wonderful ministry in Japan. So pick up one of the fellowship, CBF fellowship printouts as you leave this morning, a wonderful article about Carson and Laura and the ministry they are doing in Japan. Lots of other things going on. Check your newsletter out and check your bulletin out as you leave this morning. Our opening scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 6, reading verses 1 through 6. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. As we reflect on these words this day and being called as a servant, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, as we gather here this day, on this Sunday, as we recognize the deacons this morning, those that you have called and set aside from our congregation here at First Baptist Elon to serve the body, may we be reminded that you have gifted each one of us to serve you. Father, the opportunity and the privilege it is to gather in your presence, and the call that you place on each one of our lives and the world in which we go, we need to be your servants. Father, may we be uplifted by your word this day. May we lift up prayers to you, as may we sing songs to you in praise, and may your Spirit move among us, shifting and directing in a way that we can feel and we can be guided. Father, we just lift this day up to you, this worship hour up to you this morning. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and sing our hymn of praise, hymn number 206, Blessed Be the Name.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name.
Next Sunday evening, we will begin our Sunday night ministries here at First Baptist Elon, and we have opportunities for every age group here at First Baptist, starting with our children next Sunday night, starting at 5 o'clock from 5 to 6 p.m. Gay will be leading our children's group in Spectacular Sundays. This is kind of a carryover from our Wednesday night studies this summer, and they will be using their Faith Weaver material that they use on Sunday mornings, and they'll be going a little bit deeper into what they're using on Sunday mornings during Sunday school, and it'll be an exciting time from 5 to 6 p.m. on Sunday nights. And I want to really encourage our children, and also for you, our adults in our congregation, if you have grandchildren that have opportunities on Sunday nights, this is an opportunity to get your grandchildren, or maybe you have neighborhood children that might not be involved in a church family. Sunday nights from 5 to 6 p.m. would be a wonderful opportunity to bring them. So talk it up. Talk this opportunity up in your community. So Sunday nights from 5 to 6, our children will meet for Spectacular Sundays. Our youth will be meeting from 5:30 to 7 with Consuming Fire. We'll be beginning a new study called Focus, where we talk about the busyness of schedules. Our teenagers are busy, being drawn in so many different directions with school activities and in school and many different school opportunities, but talking about how our relationship with Christ should be our focus, our anchor for all these different opportunities that we're involved with. It'll begin with times of worship at 5:30, followed by times of fellowship, games, and our study Focus on Sunday nights from 5:30 to 7 o'clock. And now for our adults. Starting in September, starting next Sunday night, a four-week study that Jeff Pritchard will be leading for all of our adults called Why Revival Tarries. There is actually a book that goes along with this study. It is a classic written by Leonard Ravenhill. It's a classic on revival. This is something that Jeff read many years ago. And this is something that's been laying on his heart, and he wants to lead our adults on this study. It is this study will begin at 5:45. It'll be from 5:45 to 7, starting on September 8th. It's a four-week study, and this is something that Jeff really wanted to lead our adults on, but he wanted to encourage everyone that's involved in this to get a book and to go ahead and start reading the book. The book is about 16 chapters, and this is a book that once you start reading, you don't want to put it down. Last night at 11 o'clock, the books came in on Friday afternoon. I put the box in. I said, I've got to put it on the kitchen table so I don't forget to bring them to church on Sunday. I'm getting real bad about forgetting things. And so last night at 11 o'clock, I went to the kitchen, was about to turn the light off, and I said, you know what? I'm going to flip through this book. And I started reading, and I read about 10 chapters at 11 o'clock last night because I couldn't put it down. It's one of those kind of books. So I want to encourage our adults, If you want to come to a great study, you want to come starting next Sunday. I've got copies of this book in the foyer area. We're asking if you're able to today, if you want to pick one of these books up, it's $10. You can, if you have the money today, you can pay me. If not, you can bring the money starting next week. But I want you to take one of these books home with you today if you want to come to this study. Couples can share the book. That will make it easier. I've got about seven or eight copies of this. If I need to order more, I'll order it this week and get them in as soon as we can. But Jeff will be leading this on Sunday night from 5:45 to 7 o'clock during the month of September. So should be a great study, great opportunity for every age group during the month of September. And we move into October, we'll have new studies. Norm is planning to lead a study late in October for our adults. Our youth and children will be beginning our continuing our studies during the summer, during the fall time. So wonderful opportunities of study in the month of September and October coming up this fall. Now, if you're able to, stand and join us singing our offertory hymn, hymn number 395, God of Grace and God of Glory.
We will sing all four stanzas.
Let us pray. Father, as we come to this time where we return a portion of the blessings and the gifts that you bestow upon us, we give you thanks for just the blessings of this day, the opportunity to return a portion of the bounty that you give us on a daily basis, and we give you thanks. Father, use these offerings, use these tithes to further your kingdom, not just in this community, but across this world. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Congregation may be seated. Thank you.
was thinking when David was talking about inviting the kids in your neighborhood to come, I'm the youngest one in my neighborhood. In fact, a lady in the lunchroom said yesterday, she said, "Who are those people? They don't look old enough to be here." But I tell you, I feel old enough this morning. So the strength of the Lord is perfect. And with his strength, we'll make it through another morning. Let's pray. Father, indeed, we are grateful for your compassion, healing, and grace in our lives. We thank you for an opportunity of worship this day, that we might praise your holy name and make a renewed commitment to following the example of Christ, our Lord. Lord, as we celebrate this Labor Day weekend of those who have labored to build this country, more importantly, O God, we thank you for those who labor in your kingdom to build a more perfect world. We pray for those who are proclaiming your word this morning around the world, for those serving in places that we may not want to go ourselves. And we thank you for them, and we lift them to you for the strength and the power of your Holy Spirit as they seek to bring others into your kingdom. We confess, O Lord, that at times we do not fulfill our own calling. And so may we reflect on your word this day, that in confession there may be renewal. Forgive us for those times of failure, for harsh words, for indifference. May we be forgiving of others as we experience the glorious forgiveness of our Lord. Speak to us through your word today, in the name of Christ. Amen. From John chapter 13, it was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, and so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "And then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered him, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." The word of God for the people of God. You remember that Acts chapter 6 describes the role and qualifications of deacons as the need was first discerned and implemented in the early church. The office of deacon arose out of conflict. Both the numbers of those cared for out of the church's benevolence and the quality of their care was being jeopardized by the way the apostles had organized to handle this ministry. And this gave rise to accusations that the Hebrew widows were being treated better than the widows of other nationalities. But the creative energy of God flowing in their midst solved the problem. A time of bitterness became a time of betterment and ministry growth as the first deacons were appointed in the early church. The major spiritual qualifications for those deacons appeared to be twofold. They had to be full of faith, and they had to be full of the Holy Spirit. And out of those dual roles, the heart of the deacon's role and ministry was carried out in the early church. And I was reflecting again on Acts 6. I was reminded of the words of Henry Nouwen in his book, The Living Reminder, Service and Prayer in the Memory of Jesus Christ. Nouwen perceived that there is only one ministry in the whole wide world, that of Jesus Christ. In other words, no matter who we are or who we think we are, all of us, all any of us does is represent that once and forever ministry of Christ. We stand in his place for others, representing God's presence, God's power, and God's love. Believers are to be transformed continuously by Christ and thus become Christ for others. It is an extraordinary privilege. It's not just for deacons, though. That's for all of us who claim Christ as Lord and Savior of our life. But applying this concept to the work of deacons, we recognize the principle was at work in the upper room on the night Jesus was betrayed. There, Jesus graphically illustrates to his reluctant disciples that serving one another is serving God. That's what it means. In the midst of the supper, we are told that Jesus rose from the table. He laid aside his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. And then, pouring water into a basin, he began to work his way around the couches where his disciples were reclining. And he began to wash their dirty feet as he went around, wiping them with a towel around his waist. To say the least, Jesus' act was a shocking breach of household etiquette. Everybody there knew that this job was not appropriate for the guest of honor. And yet the guest is the one who did it. Foot washing was an ugly task reserved for the lowest servant in the pecking order. And so it's no wonder that Peter was anxious when Jesus came to the spot where he was reclining around the table. Flustered, Peter flatly refused to have anything to do with this scenario. The job Jesus took on was a nasty but yet necessary act of hospitality if the disciples would be appropriately cleaned for full participation in the banquet and worship of the Passover. It was necessary. And once completing this ritual cleansing, the guests were fully qualified to share in the glorious feast commemorating freedom from slavery in Egypt. When the ritual is complete of Jesus going around and washing the disciples' feet, the audio portion that goes with the video piece of this passage comes on. This part is very instructive for his disciples. His words, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done," is not literally about starting an annual foot washing service. What Jesus is doing for his disciples is lifting up the servant leader lifestyle and commending it to his frightened disciples. He says to them, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. And now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Thus, it is clear that deacons are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deacons must be the embodied word of God for other people. They must be the good book that others can read and pattern their life after. Jesus blesses his clueless companions with an overarching metaphor for the life and service of a deacon. You see, deacons are members of the ancient and honorable order of the basin and towel. And if that doesn't get you, I don't know what does. Deacons are not the bosses of the church. They do guide, they give expertise, they lead, but they don't run everything. The deacon does whatever is needed to be done to prepare and present people for God's service. Deacons are the servants of the servants. Nothing more and nothing less and nothing else. Imagine, deacons, by your humble acts of service, you assist in preparing people fully for the feast of freedom that completely liberates and brings the life of God into the life of other people. And so by taking up the basin and towel, We assist people in their passing into the full life of God through Christ. In his servant heart, Jesus longed for God's children who were reclining with him around the table that night to enter into and experience the saving power of God's mighty deeds. He wanted them to have more than just a memory of the history of how the Hebrew people miraculously passed through the Red Sea. Jesus wanted them individually and personally to experience their very own beloved Lord's passing over from death to life. Do you notice how Jesus got their undivided attention that night? He didn't raise his voice. He didn't do anything spectacular. He didn't even preach or lecture or entertain. Rather, he performed a stark and stunning act of humility. It was so strikingly beneath his dignity that it was painfully embarrassing even to Peter, who was the most thick-headed, stubborn, and insensitive of all the disciples. This humility is what Paul speaks about in Philippians chapter 2, where he says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." All of us and deacons, have you allowed the implication of Christ's humility to hit you yet? If Jesus' servant heart hushed and humbled Peter, the brashest of the braggarts, how does it shape our ministry? What do you notice about Christ's ego here? He did have an ego. If he didn't have an ego, he couldn't have developed any personal relationships whatsoever. But Jesus did not live by an ego-driven agenda. He kept his ego out of the way so that the power of his deepest self connected in quiet communion with the heart of God could shine through. So where does that lead us in our ministry? Somehow, Jesus lived by the inverse principle of leadership. What do you mean by that? Well, the higher you rise in the life of the kingdom of God, the more people you quietly carry and humbly serve in love. All those who practice their faith as deacons and serve out of the servant heart of Christ catch the fire of that enormous power. All of the great servants of the heart of Christ through the ages, from Francis of Assisi to Mother Teresa to Dietrich Bonhoeffer and to the most obscure unknown saint, knew this liberating truth and struggled to hold body and mind together only so they could continue to serve their living Lord. We live out of the servant heart of Christ. And not just deacons, but all of us who claim Jesus as Savior and Lord. On this first Sunday in September, we come to recognize those who will be serving as deacons in the life of our church this year. Those newly elected and those who continue serving their term. They're sitting right here. Warner Ackman, he can stand. And then you can sit. John Farnham is, there he is. Okay. Chip Ferguson. Susan Harrington. Paula Harrison. Kathy Hines is not here, but you all know Kathy. Kathy Johnson. Earlene Mann, Suzanne Roof, and Garland Tickle. Okay, thank you. The word deacon means servant, and the Bible does not give specific duties of the deacon. However, we can glean the direction of their ministry from the biblical qualifications given to us in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Deacons, likewise, are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their spouses are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must have only one spouse and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. According to Paul and Timothy, the first thing is a deacon must not be greedy, not pursuing dishonest gain. They are to give liberally to the financial support of the church. Second, they must be respected, and if married, have a stable family life with spouse and children, and this will help you in the area of family ministry and trust. A third thing, Paul says, they must witness to their faith in Christ by the way they live their life. And then fourth, they must display and nurture a spirit of fellowship within the church. It's important because the primary reason for the selection of the seven in Acts chapter 6 was a breach of fellowship. And so everything you say and do must reflect the heart of Christ and seek to keep our fellowship together. If there is bickering and conflict in the church, you must work to restore unity in the bond of love. You owe it to your church and you owe it to your Lord. The deacon is one way, and it's only one, but it is one way God meets human needs. In our church, the role of deacon is that of working alongside the pastor in doctrine, in dedication, in devotion, and in deeds. Besides the pastor and the ministerial staff, deacons are the only church leaders who are set apart for service by examination, ordination, and the laying on of hands. Being a deacon is a great privilege, and as I have said for 40 years, with privilege always comes great responsibility. At the heart of every vibrant congregation is a dedicated core of deacons who are living out of the joys of Christ's own servant heart. Would you stand, deacons, and face the congregation? And I'll tell you what to do. Do you promise to strive to live in such a way as to bring honor to Christ and His church? And do you promise, in the presence of your church family, to accept the responsibilities of the office of deacon and live to the best of your ability to carry out the duties of this office with a servant's heart? If so, please loudly say, I do. Okay. Church family, do you, the members of First Baptist Church Elon, acknowledge these people as deacons in this church? And do you promise to encourage and pray for them in their ministry and to cooperate with them in the fulfillment of the mission of this church? If so, will you please rise? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life and faith of these deacons. And just now, we as a church family pray that you will bless each one and their families as they seek to faithfully fulfill the role of deacon in our church. Lord, give them wisdom and strength and humility and grace to live out of the servant heart of Christ. May they live and lead seeking the unity of faith in the bond of Christ. And Lord, we pray that you will bless our church as we go through this time of transition. Use us in a mighty way so that all that is done will be done according to your good will. And may this day bring glory and honor to Christ Jesus our Lord, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen. After the singing of our final hymn this morning, if you're able, come up and greet these folks and pledge your support personally to each one. If you are prepared this day to accept Christ as Savior and Lord, or to come and unite with the fellowship of this church by letter or statement of faith, I encourage you to do so as we sing. I'll be around here somewhere. Y'all can just stand here. Father, we thank you for your love in Christ Jesus, who gave his life on a cross that we might have life abundantly now and forever. Bless us as we go forth, that we might strive to live out of the servant heart of Christ.
And it says in his name we pray. Amen.